Hey everyone, Clint Bitter here with your Project 44 Daily Accelerator for October 23rd. Now today, our reading has us in the book of John. And wow, is this chunk of scripture packed. There is so much depth and richness in these few pages, we won't even be able to scratch the surface in our time here. So I'll focus on what I think will be the most beneficial to you as you read through the rest of the gospel accounts and the New Testament. You may have noticed that John's writing style is a little different than what we've seen so far from Matthew and Luke. That's where the bulk of our New Testament reading has been so far. Now, like I've noted, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they present different views on almost identical events. Now, John's Gospel is different. There are a few key events that we'll find in each of the four Gospels, but the bulk of John's book is unique. John, it seems, is writing more as an apologist. The way he starts his gospel and weaves thematic content makes it plain that he's working with the facts of the gospel, but he's committed to making sense to the philosophically trained mind of the Greek. Now, many scholars believe that John was the last to write his gospel, suggesting that he used the earlier works as a chronological and eventual time frame. Now, the idea is that he would have read the other gospel accounts and brought his unique contribution, mentioning things that hadn't been brought up before and providing a different perspective than the synoptics. Now, I should note that while that's the traditionally held view, there's been a lot of discussion about the date of origin. Some argue that it's earlier in origin as opposed to later. And all of that is fine, but the bottom line is John's gospel is a remarkable piece of the inspired word of God that's for you and that's to you today. Now, in addition to its inclusion of events that are only recorded here, John's gospel has a notably different feel. You know, for example, John records some long conversations that Jesus had, conversations like the ones with Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Another thing that you'll notice, though it's harder to pick out chronologically, is that John doesn't record the parables of Jesus the way the synoptics do. Now, all of that's very interesting, but I really love the way that John clearly states the purpose for his writing, and it's so well summed up at the end of his book when he says, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's from John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And that really is the point. Well, there are two portions of our reading that I want to touch on today. And the first is Jesus' very first recorded miracle, when he turns water into wine. And it's such an interesting exchange. If you have time, it really is worth going back to study. Jesus would perform many miracles, and John, in his book, calls them signs. But throughout his ministry, he'll perform many miracles. And this one seems a little unusual in that Jesus, he kind of backs into it under pressure from his mom. And the water-to-wine miracle, it always stood out as an unusual one to include. But after studying, what really strikes me is that this miracle really is representative of Jesus' mission. It's all about conversion. Water being changed into wine is certainly easier than a sinner being changed into a saint. But that's exactly what the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus would accomplish. Now, the other thing you want to notice about that passage is the impact it had on the disciples. The scripture says that he revealed his glory and the disciples placed their faith in him. You'll see this common thread through all the miracles that Jesus performs. The purpose of miracles is to prove that Jesus is in fact the Son of God, his identity, and to help people put their faith in him. Now, the other portion of our reading that we simply have to point to today is John chapter 3. This truly is one of the great chapters in the whole of the Bible. In it, we find perhaps the most succinct summation of the gospel message in John 3:16. And it says this, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now there's so much we can unpack in this one powerful sentence. We get God's motivation behind the incarnation, and it's love. We understand much about God's character right here as we learn that God is full of love and generosity. We see that God is willing to pay a high price so that people can live united with him in everlasting life. We see that contrary to the man-made religions of the world, works, our merits, they are not the key to heaven. Belief is. And this is the good news. It was revolutionary good news then, and it's revolutionary good news now. Now, the target of this good news reveals another powerful theme that will be highlighted in John's book. Now, if you take a close look at the words in chapter 3, verse 16, the words, the world and whoever, we begin to understand that this kingdom is of a different sort. John will champion this idea throughout his gospel. But don't be mistaken. In this chapter, we get the good news, but the good news is so good because there's also bad news. And that is the cost of not believing is eternal condemnation, that anyone who has not believed in Christ is already under the sentence of that condemnation. Now, this is alarming. Humanity is going the wrong direction, hopelessly lost and wandering ever farther away from her Creator. Without a reorientation, without a new road to travel, that outcome, it just simply won't change. And so John 3:16 is a powerful expression of God's love. And in the following verses, we're reminded that you can't separate God's love from his other attributes, namely his justice and his holiness. You know, this is the gospel. This is the very good news, that God entered into our hopeless estate and he offers us life. You know, John will later record Jesus saying, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's good news for our lives here and now, and it's good news for our lives in eternity to come. And we'll stop here today. This is Clint Bitter, and I'm encouraging you to rest in the good news of Jesus Christ today.